You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, Lynn, we're off to the races with the Senate Subcommittee on Confirmation Hearings for the United States Supreme Court Justice Position with Amy Coney Barrett.
Yep, we are. And it was exactly what it always is. I watched and listened as much as I could today. And it was the usual sides. Okay, the Republican side saying lots of nice things about Judge Barrett. The Democratic side pontificating on Donald Trump and a lot of other things. Almost nobody, except for, I will say, a few Republicans, addressed the judge herself. And I have just found it very frustrating, as I always do. But the pontificating on the Democratic side was as disrespectful as it could have possibly been to both the judge and, more importantly, to the President of the United States. And the person, there were a couple of people that really, really frustrated me. Amy Klobuchar was
a former presidential candidate.
Yeah, was extremely passionate in that this was wrong and that the judge would change the course of Obamacare and that this and all these bad things would happen and that this hearing is a sham. And another person said that it was unconstitutional, which is absolutely ridiculous. And Harris said many rude things that just, I just was seeing red during the whole confirmation. Well, it wasn't even the confirmation part yet, but I just was incensed at the disrespect shown to this woman who's absolutely had a stellar career.
Well, I'm going to do something weird. I'm going to agree with Amy Klobuchar, a former presidential candidate and a train wreck. It is a sham. And let me tell you why I think it's a sham. And I think most people that follow these proceedings and followed the proceedings with Justice Kavanaugh, what we think. And that is, why do we go through this? We already know, you know, how this is going to end up. Nobody is going to change their votes on anything. These are all political statements. So, you know, you're talking about Klobuchar. Klobuchar, in her introductory comments, was 100% political. And really, the vast majority on both sides, these are all political statements that these senators are making. No senator on the Republican nor the Democratic side has any intention whatsoever of changing their vote. We know exactly what's going to happen during the sham of the proceedings, and that is everybody's going to spout off. They're all making political comments, really not about her, but about Donald Trump and his candidacy and where the Republicans, where they believe the Republicans are going to go if Amy Coney Barrett, you know, gets appointed to the United States Supreme Court. So why even go through all of this?
Well, I think because they have to go through the
process. Well, I know that. You know what I'm saying.
But it still is very frustrating because they really aren't interested in talking to Judge Barrett. They are interested in, like I said, pontificating to the American people about all the bad things are going to happen if she does get on the Supreme Court, which they don't know how she's going to vote on anything. You know, some people, like Justice Roberts, where we think he's going to vote one way, votes an entirely different way. We just never know how people are going to vote. So what I really like about Judge Amy Coney Barrett is that she is a constitutionalist and she wants to follow the rule of law and she wants to follow what the Constitution says and not her personal opinions. And that is everything that we want to have in a Supreme Court justice. What's happening here is the Democratic side wants to make the Supreme Court a political body. They want to make it not the third arm of government that is
the judiciary.
Not political, apolitical. They want to make it a political body. That's why they're talking about stacking the court so that they can make all the decisions go their way.
Right.
And activism is their choice. So they want the judges to do their job, which is legislating.
No, I'm so glad I was watching you talk, and I'm saying, boy, I hope she brings this up. And you did. So, no, I really appreciate that. And I join with you in your thoughts. Because where the legislature fails, then they want political advocacy
to step in and make their laws.
Exactly
for them.
Right. And that's exactly what we don't need. You know, we had that wonderful recent coffee conversation with candidate for Chief Justice of the Fourth Circuit of Texas.
Appellate Court.
Judge Renee Yonta. And first of all, I have so much respect for her, and I truly hope that she wins election. But she was talking about exactly these issues and how important it is that judges are constitutionalists, are textualists, meaning they read the law, they read the Constitution as the Founding Fathers developed it and authored it, and that's the way that they should look at things when they're trying to reconcile, one side against the other and trying to make the right decision. And the Democrats don't want any of that. They want an emotional political response, and I think that people that don't see that are just, I think they're blind or they're drinking the Democratic Kool-Aid, because it's so, to me, it is so apparent. And when you get Vice President Biden being asked repeatedly, what's your opinion on stacking the Supreme Court? And he turns around and has the audacity to say, it's none of the public's business, how I feel about this thing, and you'll just have to wait till you vote for me to find out what I want to do. Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you a rhetorical question. How does that reconcile with what all the Democrats have been saying about that? Okay, that it's the people's choice, the people's choice, the people's choice. And then Biden says, people has nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
They don't deserve to know how I'm gonna go with respect to this.
And that's exactly what the Biden Obama administration did with Obamacare, in shoving that down our throats. And Pelosi's attitude was, well, you have to vote for it before you can read it.
Well, yeah, but the incongruency between all of these Democratic senators on the Senate subcommittee, that's doing these hearings for the Supreme Court position, and after every single mouth that opened said, we shouldn't even be here right now. We shouldn't even be having these hearings because the people have a right to determine who the next Supreme Court justice is. Well, that's factually incorrect. But how does that reconcile with somebody like that's, purports to be the next president of the United States telling the public, this same public, they don't have a right to know?
Well, and I have a couple things to say about that. So first of all, Joe Biden is one of the people said that this hearing was unconstitutional. He wants to be president of the United States, and he doesn't even know what it says in the Constitution. This is not only constitutional, it is required by the Constitution to nominate a Supreme Court justice, no matter when it is. All 29 times in history that we have had a Supreme Court vacancy during an election year, someone has been nominated. That is 100% of the time.
That's correct. And by the way, when President-to-be Harris was on the vice presidential debate the other night, and I want to have a discussion later about that, She had her histrionics all wrong about that with respect to what Lincoln did when he had an opportunity in during his administration to pick a Supreme Court judge.
Well, absolutely. So the thing is that they didn't do justice to us, the American people, in handling that judiciary committee like a lot of professionals would. And what they did is they just tried to drag dirt. So here's an example. Senator Leahy, Democrat, he said that Judge Barrett would take the rights. She's a threat to the rights of women and minorities. Are you kidding me? This is a woman who has seven children, some of which are minorities. She works. She is the epitome of everything that Democratic women wanted women to be. You know, she's doing it all. She's bringing home the bacon and she's frying it in the pan.
But you know what? Okay, and I'm glad you're bringing this up, because here's the incongruency that I see with the Democrats. You know, if you're a black person and you have conservative values and conservative views, then, and Biden said it, then, you know, you're not black. Okay, so in other words, if you don't vote for me, if you don't vote for Democrats, then you're not black. And the same thing with respect to women, don't you think, Lynn? Because if you are a woman, in this case, you know, a conservative-leaning woman, we're talking about, you know, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, then all of a sudden, you're just not a woman anymore. Okay? So, first of all, you lose your racial integrity, and then you lose your gender integrity with respect to the Democrats. So, I mean, I just don't understand where they're coming from. But again, I believe the entire production, and that's what it is a sham. Now, I know they have to go through the legal protocol of having a hearing, and they get to make it, you know, it's kind of like a courtroom, really. You know, when you go to court in a civil or a criminal case, you know, what do you do after you pick your jury? And all of a sudden, and by the way, with these senators, we already have a jury impaneled. And so what do? You start making your opening arguments. And that's exactly, you know, they call them something different. They call them introductory statements. But what do you think they're doing? They're making an opening argument pro or against the judge.
Well, for somebody like Leahy to say that he's concerned about her rolling back the voting rights of women, workers' rights, the rights of the LBGT, community.
QRSTUV community.
Yeah. That why do you want to scare the American people like that? I guess that's their intent, but I don't think it's professional. I don't think it's fair, and I don't think it's mature. And the way to handle things. I'm constantly ashamed of our legislators, Ron.
You know, Linda, you crack me up, and I'm sorry, I'm like chewing down a cookie as we're talking, but your expectations are way too high.
You know,
what did you say? And correct me if I'm wrong. You expect them to be intelligent, you expect them to be professional, and you expect them to be fair. Linda, these are politicians, okay? Those words should never cross the mouth of a politician. They're not there to be fair.
Well, but they're
okay. That's
I
not
disagree.
Why they're there.
That is why they're there, and they're not fair. So another Democrat said that Barrett was chosen to be a judicial torpedo aimed at Obamacare. You know what? I certainly hope so, and America should certainly hope so too. But the fact is that they are not going to destroy Obamacare. It's really part of the land as it is now. It's been here long enough with nothing done about it that they're not going to go in and destroy that. They may make tweaks to it that's going to make it better. I certainly hope so, because I don't know about everybody else in America, but I know that our health care and all my employees' health care went up crazy amounts, and their deductibles went up even crazier amounts, and that did not help anybody. And do you know what they do, Ron? Rather than go to the doctor, they just don't go.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir there. I absolutely understand what you're saying. You know, the whole healthcare thing is really, and I'm going to be honest with you, and I think you know this, I mean, it's not really my wheelhouse, but how to vet information, how to reconcile facts and evidence and things, those things are absolutely in my wheelhouse. And so let me tell you what my expectations of these Supreme Court judges are. No different than any other judge I've been before the bench on. And that is, I don't want political advocacy. I don't want legislation from the bench. I want intelligent, articulate, thoughtful jurists to look at the facts and arguments and evidence on both sides and ultimately reach decisions, especially when you're at the United States Supreme Court level, as to the constitutionality and the appropriateness of any law, you know, legislated bill that gets signed into law or whatever. And then it's being re-reviewed. That's all. Okay, and it is what it is. And if something is constitutional, you know, we can dislike it, but they've got to go with it. But if it isn't constitutional, or there's serious issues that affect the futures of Americans, both adults and juveniles, then I expect them to act accordingly, and for either say to the, you know, say by their decision, hey, legislature, you know, you guys have got to re-legislate this thing. We don't make laws. We rule on laws. You all got to go back and you got to fix this thing. That's all I expect.
Well, and that's exactly what they did on immigration. So the one thing that I absolutely loved about Judge Amy Coney Barrett's appearance was that she told the committee that the court should not try to do the Congress's job.
Yes.
And the committee and the entire Senate and the entire Congress needed to be told that, because that is exactly correct. And the Congress has not done their job on medical. They have not done their job on immigration. They've not done their jobs on infrastructure. They have not done much of any job other than go after the President of the United States for the entire last 4 years. And America should be good and sick and tired of that. And we want things to get moving. And that is exactly what they should be doing, is moving these things forward and not depending on the court to come in and, you know, hold their hand and do their job for them.
Boy, you know, and this is why I love having these coffee conversations with you. I couldn't add a single thing to what you just said. I completely agree with, you know, everything that you're saying. And yeah, that's exactly right. It's been a complete disappointment for the last 4 years. We've got one guy who's President Trump with his administration repeatedly trying under tremendous stress and tremendous odds, trying to move the United States of America and its people forward, and he gets obstructed every single step, and he's getting hit six ways from Sunday, and he still comes to work every day and he does his job.
And he still keeps winning.
And that's absolutely
for the American people.
He loses a battle, here and there, but basically he's winning the war. And I think we just need to ride this out, sham that it is, and it's just going to, you know, I want to hear the arguments, but it's the same old crap as far as I'm concerned, and let's just get to the vote and get this thing over with. Are you ready for our first cup of coffee?
I'm ready.
My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. And like us, we're pretty sure you're not happy about any of it. But this is the America we now find ourselves in. AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DRRONMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
That we're coffeeed up, I want to talk to you a bit about the upcoming election. And ever since the debate between President Trump and Joe Biden, the polls seem to have changed in favor of Joe Biden. And I'm questioning those polls, Ron. I'm questioning them a lot, because what I've been reading is that these polls are particularly taken over polling Democrats. So that it's called suppression polling, so that it looks like President Trump is in a big hole, and then the Republicans get depressed and they say, why should I vote, because he's going to lose anyway. That's exactly what they want. Now, just as an aside to that, I would like to say that every single day I am seeing numerous articles and numerous situations where false ballot box collection boxes are being put up in areas, and people are dropping their ballots, and God knows what's happening to those ballots. I'm sure that they're being sorted through, and the Republicans' ones are being thrown out and the other ones are being put in a real box. There is so much fraud going on in this election that I'm horrified, and I'm so disappointed that any judge and any Democrat would even allow this mail-in voting garbage to take place. But I want to go back to why I don't think that President Trump is going to lose this election. I don't really care what the polls say at this time. They said the same thing last time. But things that I see Trump trains all over the country. In fact, they just had a Trump train in Hollywood. When we were on our Trump train in Texas, there was one in Hollywood. Hollywood, I mean, that's unheard of. There is a lot of enthusiasm for the president. And what do we always vote on in America? What is the big issue always?
Well, I think it's the economy.
56% of Americans rate their financial situation as excellent or good. And a huge percent say that they are better off than they were 4 years ago when Trump came into office. That is a huge statistic, because that is how people vote. They vote with their wallets. They vote on the economy. Now, we have a lot of crazy things going on this year in the country, with Black Lives Matter, with Antifa, with all these just crazy things going on, with the defunding of the police departments. America as a whole is not on board with any of that.
Yeah, you know, boy, you've raised so many good issues. You know, I want to talk about the polling first, and then, you know, how people tend to look at presidential candidates and, you know, elections and things like that. I mean, just from my own opinion and observations. But for the polling, I'm 100% on board with you. And you and I were on the same sheet of music back in 2016. We thought that they were underreporting people that were going to vote Republican and conservative. We were 100% right on that. The mainstream media was doing everything in their power to suppress those polls.
And I think that's what's happening now.
Yeah, and I think people... Have you ever been called on a poll?
No.
I've been called twice on polls. And they're so interesting, because polls have a... And these are political polls, okay? As opposed to product, you know, polls or what television station do you like to watch. Political polls. And it has a lot to do with the pollsters' questions to you. And the pollsters' questions are often so one-sided that, you know, it you'd be hard-pressed not to give a vote in the manner that they want to direct you to vote, right? So what I think is going on is the same thing that happened back in 2016. I think that the polls are biased. I think the questions are biased. And I think a lot of people don't answer the polls deliberately, don't answer the polls correctly, meaning honestly about who they're voting for. And so I'll tell you what, I take those polls and I trounce those polls. However, I will say this. You and I talked about the debate between President Trump and former Vice President Biden, and we did not like that debate. We felt that it was the worst debate in the history of debating that you and I have ever seen. And from both people, we were disappointed by the president, and we were, you know, we were certainly disappointed, but validated by the way that Biden came across. But our guy didn't do that well. Conversely, and we'll talk about this later, Vice President Pence did a hell of a job and totally trounced Harris.
Well, and I just have to add to that that every woman that I have spoken to wanted to slap that smirk right off of her face because it was so disrespectful, so out of place for what conversations we are having about America. That gotcha, four-year-old kind of smirk, I just found it so repulsive.
Well, I don't want to transition
into that. No, I want to go back to why the enthusiasm. There is no comparison for the enthusiasm in this country for President Trump against Joe Biden. There's no, the enthusiasm is definitely on the side of President Trump. The unreliability of polls is well known. The media is basically the water boy for Joe Biden. If they tell you that President Trump is ahead anywhere, they feel that you won't go out and vote. So they want us Republicans not to go out and vote, so they tell us that Trump is way down. What matters is not the polls. What matters is who gets out and votes. What also matters, in my opinion, is the fraud going on in the voting. I'm very concerned about that.
But you know what, Linda? Mm-hmm. But that's why people have got to vote in person.
In person,
okay?
Yes.
Because then
because
your vote is guaranteed.
They're throwing your votes away, Republicans. They are throwing your votes away.
Yeah, you've really got to get off your butts.
You've got to do it in person.
Yeah, no, you've got to get off your butts. And I don't care what it takes. Hell, if you got time to go to the supermarket, even, you know, with your COVID mask and all this other stuff, then damn it, you've got time to get to the polls and to cast your vote for Republicans and conservatives and all the way down the down ballot.
Well, okay. Here's some other interesting things that bode really well for President Trump. 30% of the participants in Trump rallies have never voted before.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot of people.
That's huge.
And if you look at the crowds, there are lots of young people. When we go on the Trump trains to all different towns, lots of young people. I'm actually surprised at that. And their enthusiasm is absolutely contagious. In fact, the people that are in charge of the Trump trains are young people.
Yeah, you know, we see that just in our own in community in Texas, where there's a dichotomy between, you know, sort of the diehard Republican conservatives and this new group of 30 to 40-year-old what I call,
and even younger.
Oh yeah, and even younger Republicans. And let me just piggyback on something you said because I don't want to take time away from you because I know you got a few things. But that's good parenting. When we go out on the Trump train and we have these giant get-togethers, and we see the parents bringing their kids, bringing their elementary school kids, bringing their teenage kids, bringing their young college kids with them, and you know, sharing the enthusiasm for the candidacy of Donald J. Trump, that to me is good parenting.
Yes. Well, another thing is that it has been reported actually by NBC News, surprise, surprise, that President Trump is winning the registration battle in key states. Another sign is 19 million guns have been sold this year. Who do you think's buying those guns?
Well, I think people that are scared. okay, but certainly Second Amendment people, but people that are scared because of everything that's been happening, and they're worried that they're not going to be able to protect themselves. But people that buy guns, by and large, tend to vote conservative and pro-Second Amendment because they want to hang on to those guns.
Exactly.
I think that's huge that you brought that up, by the way.
Yep, a couple more surprises. The Democrats have always claimed dominance over both the black and the Hispanic vote. Okay.
Right.
Well, and there's lots of good news. So in Puerto Rico, Governor Wanda Vasquez Garcet endorsed President Trump. That is just, I was astounded when I heard that.
You don't hear a word about that in the mainstream media. Not one word.
Well, Puerto Rico has endorsed President Trump. And of course, I'll say again, all of law enforcement has endorsed President Trump. But when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are running around
that
the country.
That took you a second.
I had to shut my mouth.
I knew you were going to say something derogatory.
when they were running around, when they are running around the country and they are saying that we are going to make Puerto Rico a state, guess what? Puerto Rico doesn't care. They endorsed President Trump. And they have praised Trump's help to Puerto Rico with everything that he's done for Puerto Rico. The same is true for the black vote. In 2016, Trump received only 9% of the black vote. This year, he is expected to receive 20%.
Yeah, let me jump in there for a minute because, you know, after writing, you know, my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, I said in that book that the vast majority of blacks in the United States of America do not support the Black Lives Matter movement. They are pro-police, they are pro-law enforcement, and as a police officer myself, I saw it through my entire career, all right? The people that are the anti-police people, you know, the defund, dissolve the police people, you know, the LeBron Jameses, the, you know, Kamala Harris's, you know, all these people that want to defund and dissolve and disengage from police, those are the political activists, socialists, Marxists, and idiots. And I will say that because if you don't understand the meaning of law enforcement and the importance of law enforcement in the United States of America, then you're an idiot. So I agree. The vast majority of blacks support law enforcement, they support the rule of law, and they want safe communities. I'm thinking that when blacks vote, it'll even be higher than 22%.
There are many black organizations supporting President Trump. And why not? Because when Obama, who was the first black president, was supposed to be, you know, the savior to the black people, no, they did nothing. Biden did nothing.
He and Biden did not deliver. How embarrassing is it to be the first black president of the United States and do nothing, literally nothing, to deliver to your constituency and your black community?
No, what he delivered is more talk about racism and more. This is why we are where we are today.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
What has President Trump done for blacks? President Trump did prison reform. He did SBA loans for them. He led to a quadrupling of black entrepreneurship and school choice, which is hugely important to black communities.
And don't forget funding the black universities.
Yes, and the inner city initiatives. No other president has done any of those things for the black community, but President Trump did. So you can look at the two different candidacies, you can look at the polls, and you can say, well, you know, the ABC says that Biden's winning. Well, I disagree. And some interesting polls came out that were properly taken, that were taken by, you know, an equal amount of Democrats and Republicans. And in those polls, in states that are, you know, important to this election, President Trump was winning.
Well, I just think that And you know, people have to just put all of this in perspective. Can I just interject one thing briefly? And I think it's something that we need to have a future coffee conversation. And boy, I'd love to have a person come in and have some coffee with us that was a Democrat. I do not understand the mentality of the average Democrat. I'm not talking about activists here. I'm talking about the average Democrat, the people that intend to vote for the Harris-Biden ticket. And I say it just like that, because if anybody doesn't think it's a Harris-Biden ticket, you all are naive, okay? But here's the thing. I get the fact that you don't like President Trump. I get the fact that you might even hate President Trump. But are you telling me with any sense of intelligence that you don't want to vote for policies and strategies and a history in the last 4 years that there is absolutely no mistake whatsoever has moved America and our American economy and your personal economy forward? Are you telling me that you are going to be that selfish and drink that much Kool-Aid because you hate one man so much that you are going to throw the baby out with the bathwater?
Well, you're going to throw the Supreme Court out. You're going to throw our policies in our Senate out, like filibuster. You're going to throw out so many things that you're going to tear down the wall and have immigrants flowing into America again.
And they are going to,
they are going to imagine.
They are going to open the borders.
And your taxes are going to be.
Do you all understand that? This Green New Deal is going to kill you. Tax-wise, corporations that President Trump worked so hard to bring back into the United States are going to flee like they've never flown before. Take a look at California, take a look at New York, take a look at New York City, take a look at some of these cities that are democratically controlled, and they look like a freaking third world Venezuela,
Portland, Seattle,
okay, you name
Baltimore,
them. Is that
Chicago?
Is that where you want the United States to go? Because you hate one man so much, and you know what? And when I get on Facebook and there's a Democrat, you know, talking about in glowing terms about Biden, and I take them on, and I very very civilly, and I say, tell me the accomplishments. He had 8 years. He had 47 years. Tell me the accomplishments. They can point to absolutely nothing. And with that background, this is the guy that you're going to vote for. And the Harris ticket. Come on now.
I have to honestly say, for me as a woman, if you just look at the reel of Joe with small children and the way that he touches the women and children, I can't bear it.
I'm sorry, the guy is creepy, but the guy is also not smart. And the guy is, I mean, if you think that guy is going to be the president, if he gets elected, that he's going to be the president for the next four upcoming years, y'all are nuts. If you don't think that Harris is going to become the president of the United States, and Bernie Sanders is not going to be in that cabinet, and Elizabeth Warren is not going to be in that cabinet in taking major economic roles and decision-making roles, y'all are nuts. So how about our last cup of coffee? I'm riled up, girl.
You are riled up.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Okay, well, I thought we'd play a little game.
All right, I'm good for it.
Okay, so I have given you a list of a good portion of the Republican platform.
I'm glad I won the coin toss on this one. Okay.
I will be the Democrat here, even though it pains me to be so. But I will be the Democrat. So I want you to give me a platform item from the Republican platform, and I'm going to give you a Democratic platform item.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, the one I want to start out with, because, you know, you've been talking about the economy and how important the economy and job creation is, and maintenance of jobs, and bringing jobs away from the places, you know, especially in, you know, the China and all these, you know, India and all these other countries where they fled, and bring them back to the United States. I want to talk about the Republican platform, which is really to create 10 million new jobs in the next 10 months, and also create 1 million new small businesses, and then continue with our tax cuts to boost take-home pay and keep jobs in America.
Okay. Well, the Democratic platform doesn't actually address jobs so much, but it does absolutely address taxes. So let's talk about taxes Democratic platform.
Well, wait a minute. No, hang on. Your Democratic platform does talk about job creation
and
with regards to the Green New Deal.
Absolutely. I was going there.
Okay, so go ahead.
Just stay on your Republican side over there, Dr. Martinelli. So with taxes, well, on my Democratic platform, we are going to have revolutionary new capital gains taxes at death, doubling of capital gains taxes from 20 to 39.6%, and unrealized gains taxed at death with no step up in basis. We're going to slash your deductibility of your contributions to your IRAs and 401ks. We're going to increase the employer tax by 1/3, although Harris wants 2/3. We'll see who gets their way there. And we are going to raise the corporate tax by 1/3 from 21% to 28%. And we are going to raise the individual top rate to 39.6. You put your finger down, because I'm still rolling on taxes, Dr.
Well, you sound like Harris right there, okay? Hey, I'm talking.
We're going to end the 1031 exchanges, which are the lifeblood of commercial real estate.
Wait a minute. Excuse me, Ms. Harris. We're talking about job creation. How does this affect job creation?
Because you brought up taxes, and
well, we're cutting taxes. How does that affect?
No, it doesn't. We're just going to raise everybody's taxes here. So I'm not done telling you all the ways we're going to raise your taxes. We're going to lower the estate tax exemption from $11.58 million to $5.49 million, so that you have to pay much more estate taxes. And even Harris wants to go further than that. We're going to double your capital gains rate from 20% to 39.6 for incomes over $1 million, and on death, any income including capital gains over $1 million is going to be taxed at close to 40%. So there are much more than that, but I don't really have all night. They also are going to slash your deductibility of your retirement plans, and I think that's enough of them, although there be more.
Well, you know, I hate to be a stick in the mud here, young lady, but I thought we were talking about job creation, and everything that you're talking about in the Democratic platform are job killers. Okay, they're corporate killers and they're job killers. If you chase the corporations out of the United States and send them back to China and send them back to India and send them back to Indonesia, right, where they're, you know, can hide out and not pay those high taxes, and he can get that cheap labor. How the heck does your platform create a foundation to making jobs in the United States of America, especially manufacturing jobs?
Well, they want to put this Trump train in reverse and go back to the way that it was, where, remember when Obama said that we'd never bring manufacturing back to this country? And we have. And
he said you'd have to, Trump would have to, what did he say, wave a magic wand?
Yeah, well, he did.
Yeah.
And he's going to keep doing it.
Well, listen, you know, we were talking, especially me, was talking about China. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the Republican platform for ending our over-reliance on China. And what the Republicans want to do under the Trump administration is to bring back 1 million manufacturing jobs from China, give tax credits instead of taxing those corporations, give tax credits for companies that bring back jobs from China. And also, they want to allow 100% expense deductions for essential industries like pharmaceuticals and robotics who bring their manufacturing jobs back to the United States. Let me point out, in the whole China thing, that about 85% of all of our antibiotics and our pharmaceuticals are produced where? They're produced in China. And the material, the minerals, all of those things are found in China, in countries near China. So we're probably going to have a little problem with the minerals and the material to make the pharmaceuticals, but I think that can be worked out in various trade agreements.
That's really not so much for the pharmaceuticals. That's more for the electronics and for things like jet propulsion, things like that.
No, I'm gonna disagree with you, because I read an article and I was amazed that 85% of our pharmaceuticals are produced in China, for God's sake.
Oh yeah,
that scared the crap out of me. And I think it was antibiotics specifically.
Well, in my Democratic platform, that's just not addressed. So I'll tell you something that is
Because everybody's on the take from China.
Sure.
In your Democratic platform.
That's right. And but in my platform is the Green New Deal, which Harris co-sponsored in the Senate, and we're going to end all fossil fuels by 2050. And
now you guys go back and forth on that. Make up your mind. Are you going to end it?
Well, it was 2030 and then it was 2050, but now it's 2050.
Well, what are you going to do with fracking?
The platform says no fracking on federal lands, and Harris says to shut down all fracking, although in her debate she denied that, but that's a flat-out lie.
But you know,
they both of them are on record as eliminating fracking, which will take many, many, many thousands of jobs.
Well, and I apologize for interrupting you a couple of times, but your candidate, Joe Biden, and I have watched him on television, on video, audio, saying, you know, and I hate this term because they're always going to lie when they say this. Politician says, "Let me be clear."
Yeah,
especially that girl, especially the video of the girl that she was in her 20s and she asked him about fracking, and he says, "Let me be clear," and he looked her right, looked me right in the eyes. "I will end fracking," but that's not what he's saying these days, is he? So I don't really know what your guy's platform is on fracking, except I think you guys are going to end fracking, and for sure I think you're going to end our dependence on fossil fuels.
Well, I want to talk about crime on my Democratic platform.
Oh, boy.
So on my Democratic platform, I'm going to eliminate minimum sentencing and all private prisons. And I do support the LA mayor slashing the police budget by $150 million.
So defunding.
I support eliminating or lowering cash bail for criminal arrests, and I support sanctuary cities for illegals, even in the event of crimes.
Well,
and getting rid of ICE while I'm at it.
Well, that's not the way we're going, young lady. So under the Republican platform,
is my smirk appropriate?
I wish people could appreciate that, Linda. But anyway, on the Republican platform, contrary to the Democratic one, is President Trump has been a huge supporter of law enforcement, and Vice President Pence going to fully fund and hire more police officers, increase criminal penalties for assaults on law enforcement officers, prosecute drive-by shootings and other acts of domestic terrorism, bring violent extremist groups like Antifa to justice, and end this whole ridiculous cashless bail, because we need to keep dangerous criminals locked up until trial because we're concerned about recidivist crime. That's where we are going. We are not into this ridiculous reimagine policing.
Well, along that same line, I want to talk about immigration. So my platform, my Democratic platform, is to increase the number of refugees that we welcome into our country. With more than 70 million displaced people in the world today, this is a moment in history that demands American leadership. We need to open our doors. We're going to take down that wall. We're going to eliminate the public charge rule, which limits immigrants' rights to taxpayer-funded public services, like food stamps, Medicare, those types of things. And we want free education and health care for all immigrants.
Wow. Well, Here's what the Republican platform is. We're going to block, as we have been doing consistently. We're going to use the same program. We're going to block illegal immigrants from becoming eligible for taxpayer-funded welfare, health care, and free college tuition. Mandatory deportation for all non-citizen gang members. We're going to, and this is a big one for us, dismantle human trafficking networks. We're going to end sanctuary cities to restore our neighborhoods and protect our families. And we're going to prohibit American companies from replacing United States citizens with lower cost foreign workers. And that last one is going to be a hard one, because we're dealing with agricultural farming conglomerates, you know, that whole lobby that's involved in that. You know, it's not on the platform, but if Dr. Ron was putting that platform together, I would bring back the Bracero program. And people are going to say, what the heck's the Bracero program? Well, coming from a ranching family, look it up. Bracero program was very, very successful in the 50s and 60s. I'd like to see it come back. Mrs. Martinelli.
Okay, well, on my Democratic platform, we are going to shut down charter schools because we don't need those charter schools, and we're not going to allow federal funds for school choice, and we're going to forgive student debt, which is at $1.4 trillion, and taxpayers should pay for 2 years free college for those eligible. Taxpayers can also pay for free education for illegal immigrants. That's according to future president hopeful Kamala Harris.
Wow, I got to tell you. Well, ours is a little bit simpler than that. We're not going to give away all those freebies, because it's going to really put American taxpayers in the toilet, especially with all the other taxes that you're doing. What we're going to do is get down to basics, and we are going to teach American exceptionalism and also provide for school choice for every child in America. Who does that touch the most? The minority child. Okay? The public school system is absolutely atrocious. You, Mrs. Martinelli, I'm so surprised you went to the Democratic side here, because the education has, by under the Democrats and Democrat administrations and school districts and things like that, they have removed civics from our schools. People, you know, don't understand anything about the rule of law, who enforces the rule of law, the different branches of government, how government works. History has been revised. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. We want to stop that with American exceptionalism and also get more kids into school charters, right? Or charter schools.
Well, on my Democratic platform, for employees and employers, we are going to require 12 weeks paid leave for all employees from all employers. Harris has pushed for 6 months paid leave. So, hey, you only have to work half a year. That's pretty cool, huh? We also want to pass the Protecting Rights to Organize Act. So we want to unionize many more places so that we can control what goes on here. And Harris voted against the Canada-Mexico Trade Pact, the USMCA, which Trump secured, which is absolutely one of his greatest accomplishments.
Getting rid of NAFTA.
They want to get rid of it. They want to join back with the Paris climate thing. They liked the original Iran nuclear arms thing. This is crazy. I have more than you do, so I'm going to add one more.
Well, because you guys have a complete manifesto.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to have a national firearms registry, a national background check for firearms, and we are going to be arguing a private citizen has no right to possess arms.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't have anything to compete with that, but what I do have is a platform that drains the swamp. Okay.
So, well, wait a minute.
What?
Dr. Martinelli, are you going to get rid of my Second Amendment rights?
I am not going to get rid of your Second Amendment rights. President Trump and Vice President Pence and his administration are fully in support of the Second Amendment.
I happen to like all of my arms.
You got enough of them. But anyway, I just want to talk for just a minute about where we've been for the last 4 years with the swamp. And just going to say a couple of things. Want to go back into having term limits for congressmen and senators. Want to end bureaucratic government bullying of U.S. citizens and small businesses. And want to drain the globalist swamp by taking on international organizations that hurt America's citizens. It's not in the platform, but if Dr. Ron was running it, we'd be getting rid of George Soros and deporting that son of a gun right out of the United States. So, I mean, those are just, you know, some of the things you can see, the comparing and contrasting,
well,
and
sure,
just
you
a
need
tremendous
to worry about the stacking of the court.
Absolutely.
You need to worry about the Obamacare. You need to worry about universal health care, and we all lose our insurance.
That's exactly right.
And you need to worry about them decimating our military again. Thank you for being a Republican. I am now back to joining you on the Republican Party
because I
could never support a ticket like this.
And you know what's kind of funny, Linda? This is the first time you and I have ever played this little game. But I had fun with it, and I really, you know, I hope our followers and listeners were paying close attention to the banter of Dr. Ron and Linda as we went back and forth between Democrat and Republican. But I want to point out that everything that you talked about, Linda, you got right off of the Democratic platform. So you weren't making any of that up. And everything that I was talking about was right from the Republican platform. So, hey, let's talk about a couple of things as we close out our coffee conversation. And one of the things that I want to bring up is if people go to AmericaOutloud.com, I hope you'll take opportunities to read the articles from the incredible Mrs. Linda Martinelli. She is a consistent and very accomplished writer on America Out Loud. And right now, she's got a beautiful article out there called Republican Carelessness or Foul Play. So I hope you all will get on AmericaOutloud.com and read Linda's articles and go back over some of her other articles.
Well, and I do also want to mention Dr. Ron is becoming a very prolific author and having a lot of fun with it. So besides his best-selling Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, which is selling on drronmartinelli.com, we will be happy to autograph that for you. He also has a new fiction series, Wade Justice, Texas Ranger. They are thrillers. They're a lot of forensics, a lot of terrorism, a lot of different things going on in these books that they capture your mind from sentence one, and you're in that book. And I know, trust me, I've read it many, many times, and I still love it every time I read it.
Yeah, and we've got two books out. One's called Absolute Justice, which is the first book in the series, and the second book is Justice for All. And I'm working on the third book called Border Justice. So I hope you all, if you like my Black Lives Matter movement book, or, you know, I've been in forensics my whole life and investigations, if you like that kind of stuff, detective thrillers, I hope you'll get on to Wade Justice, and Justice is spelled JUSTUS.com. That's for personalized books and autograph books, but you can get those books everywhere where books are sold. So Amazon, the Kindle, Barnes & Noble, Apple iTunes, all the places where you normally buy books, both softbacks and electronics, you'll find WadeJustice.com.
And join us on America Out Loud every night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And take some time to peruse all of the other great shows and writers on America Out Loud, probably the best conservative station on radio.